بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رمض حديث ريج وحديث عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه. A small boy with great knowledge and what honor Allah had blessed him through that. So there are other lessons also that we should take from this hadith. One is that knowledge and ulama are vital in the culture of Islam in order to promote its principles, teachings, and create a deeper understanding. We should understand that the knowledge, ill knowledge of deen, and we must give great preference to knowledge of deen over dunya's knowledge. And dunya's knowledge, which is mixed with kufr, like Darwin's theory, etc., Big Bang theory, that must be shunned completely. But deen's knowledge must be given preference over dunya's knowledge. And this is very important, and this knowledge is carried by the ulama. And therefore, we should always understand the great role and the importance of the ulama for the existence of the Muslim community, for the promotion of Islam and Islamic values. How much we will also respect them, honor them, so much Islam will also spread. Another point is, a person may surpass his contemporaries and peers because of his in-depth understanding and comprehensive knowledge. Knowledge of deen, everyone should try and acquire and increase all the time. And it should be acquired in the correct methods also. That is, if those who became alim, they should make shukr to Allah, but not sit after they have finished, but carry on acquiring knowledge. Knowledge must be from the cradle to the grave, all the time. And there is no limit to this knowledge. They will benefit, the ummah will benefit, their communities, their families, everyone will benefit. To engage, as we saw, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the time of the Sahaba, but they used to have this ilmi discussions on knowledge. He should summon the Sahaba and they should discuss various aspects of deen. So in whichever way, our own study of kitabs, with friends we should meet. Today we do, and if we do meet with friends, is to go for some outing, for some sports, even ulama. We get engaged in these things. Where do we hear that ulama today even get together to have some ilmi discussions, to promote and discuss some matters of deen? That is very important, not only for the ulama, but for us as the ordinary people. We also should be increasing our knowledge of deen all the time. It is very important, and then to do it in the correct ways. Not just become, educate ourselves in our own fashion, especially with all the technology which is today, that online we start learning, etc. We must learn deen properly, person by person, one on one. That is when deen will come. It isn't a matter of just acquiring information, it is a matter of getting deen. And deen is not just information. What we can learn online, what we learn, what we hear over streamlining, etc., the live streaming, all that is just some information we will get. Until we don't sit with the people of knowledge, the nur of knowledge will not come. Just as we can clearly understand that we can arrange a marriage with somebody online, but we can never have a baby online. For that we will have to meet, even if it is for 2 minutes meeting. But the baby cannot come online. We can arrange the meeting, discuss everything, all the things of the marriage, but just like that, knowledge, the information we can get, but the nur of knowledge, and that is what is required. We don't just need a torch, we need light in that torch. If we just have a torch and it doesn't go on, doesn't give us light. If we just have knowledge and that knowledge doesn't give us light, that nur we have to get. That we can only get when we are in the company of the people who had knowledge. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's knowledge and understanding of the Quran was so extensive that he was given the title of Bahrul Ulum, the ocean of knowledge. He was blessed with knowledge because of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a young boy, he had achieved this great position that he was known as the knowledge, ocean of knowledge. Great, great Sahaba referred to him as that. And all that was by the barakat of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another very important aspect that we learn here, that it isn't only our efforts, and we must not be satisfied with our efforts. Even the correct efforts, the correct sunnat efforts that we make, we must not depend on them. Take the du'as of the righteous and the pious. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's du'a for Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, for Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, other sahaba proved so, so beneficial to them. So we should take the du'as also of the righteous and the pious. And du'a, as it is said, is not that we ask somebody to make du'a. Our nature must be such that just from their own heart they make du'as. We serve them, we make their khidmat, we show our muhabbat for them in such a way that their heart just opens. That is the real du'a. And that we ask somebody make du'a for me, that is more a customary thing. Though that also should be there. But we should make, we live in such a way with them that we make them happy from the bottom of their hearts. And another great benefit of that is, it comes in the hadith, that Allah continuously looks at the hearts of His pious servants. And whose love He finds in that heart, then Allah directly makes love to with those people. So if we serve the righteous people, we make them happy, and they are in their hearts, they have love for us. When Allah will see that love, then Allah will make love to us directly. And we will also be the accepted servants of Allah Ta'ala. The close servants and friends of Allah Ta'ala are given glad tidings before their demise that indicate towards a favorable end. And this is also a great thing of the mubashirat, of the good tidings Allah gives a person. Then in this world already, the clear signs are that he will have a good life in the akhirah. And if we are in the wrong direction, then all the signs, the indicators are in the wrong direction. Towards Allah save us all from the azab of the qabr, from Jahannam. If we are in the righteous field, we will also, and this mubashirat is a gift from Allah Ta'ala, which Allah gives in advance to people. And they have that contentment in their heart that inshallah, not full conviction, nobody can have that. But they have that itminan, that things will be alright. So that also Allah Ta'ala gives when we are in the company of the righteous and we acquire knowledge which is not just words but knowledge that brings amal with it. And when that comes, it is permissible for a person to disclose his virtues in order to praise Allah for his bounties or for some other beneficial purpose. However, it should not be done out of pride. The ni'mat which Allah has given a person, like Allah says in the Quran Sharif to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The ni'mat which Allah has given to you, O Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, speak about them. Explain it to people. But this is only permissible for that person who has made so much islah of himself and has got so much control of his nafs that he is not doing it for pride. Not to show people I'm a pious person, but to encourage people. As we see, we read about the ibadat of the great buzurgs. They disclosed what ibadat they made. But if it was done for show, then it's all destroyed. But if it is done to encourage other people, and that only that person is really permitted who has made so much islah of himself that his nafs doesn't come in the matter at all. He doesn't do things for his ego, for his praise, that people must praise him, or just for himself to think that I'm a pious person. The general rule of safety in here is not to speak at all about these things. But those people who have that position, like of course Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there can be no doubt his sincerity, everything he does for Allah. سؤال لكم هاندتهم فحدث بنعمة ربك. Speak of the نعمات of Allah so that the people can also emulate and follow in that way. And if it wasn't for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we shouldn't know anything about the ibadat of the night, tahajjud, etc. Duas, how to make them, good akhlaq, etc. All this because it was brought out. So any person must not just jump at this and say that I also have to inform people of what ni'mat Allah has blessed me. If he is in that position, he has got full control over his nafs and he's not doing it for his name, fame, for just to massage his nafs and feel happy that I'm somebody pious, etc. If he's above that, then it's all right. But if it is not that, and shaitan fools a person, and shaitan makes a person think that I'm doing it with sincerity, but it is either that people must praise me, or people must shower me with gifts and favors, that he's a very big buzurg, he's a very pious person, etc. If that is the case, one will just destroy himself. It is acceptable to interpret the verses of the Quran based on understanding derived from science, indications and proofs. However, it is important that only those who are thoroughly versed in the field should do so. To understand the Quran and to interpret it, the correct method should be used, which has come with the knowledge of deen a person must have. And as ulama have written, a person must be very, very proficient in 15 subjects before he can attempt to make tafsir of Quran Sharif. However, to draw points from the Quran Sharif, that a person can do. But that also it must confirm to the teachings of Islam. We can't take out points, as unfortunately today presently is a very strong effort is being done globally to change the meaning of the Quran. And all who are called the scholars of deen, we must be very afraid of the scholars. Those who want to be known as scholars and want to be known as sheikhs, etc., be very afraid of them. Those who are ordinary, humble ulama, maulvis, etc., and who follow the original deen, have confidence in them. But the new type of scholars and all the seminars and all the other meetings that they have, workshops, etc., be very apprehensive of those things. They are all modern things and they are there to change our deen. Not to help us and teach us our deen, but to change our deen. And those who stick to the original, to the sunnah, follow those people and we will be saved and we will be guided. But all these new things that come, a person should be very careful and very apprehensive of that. And that is not only in the matters of deen, even if we go and buy something over the counter in a shop. What we know the product, we don't mind, we just buy it. But the new product, then we look at it properly. What is this now? Something new. Even the packaging is now a different packaging. Then also we look at it, this is not what I'm used to. Is this the right thing I'm getting or is it the wrong thing? A person is apprehensive. So indeed, we must be much more careful. When we get to the deen, the original deen of sunnah and Quran, then that is easy to accept it. But when we see some new packaging of it, and a new way that it is being now promoted, and it is being advertised, be very apprehensive and very careful about that, that we don't know what is in there, what catch there may be in there, and it must not be that we lose our iman in the process. May Allah protect us, guide us to righteousness, learn our deen properly, and practice it properly, inshallah.